We're going to talk about European Union tariffs on Russian grain imports, plus how Arkansas farmers are helping their counterparts in Texas, and a lot more on today's episode of the Arkansas AgCast, which starts right now.
You're listening to the Arkansas AgCast, where we discuss the latest news, trends, and issues impacting Arkansas farmers and ranchers. Our show is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau Federation and hosted by Jason Brown and John Nickman.
Oops.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
It's Thursday, that's for sure.
That it is.
Mm-hmm. That means tomorrow is Friday.
Friday of spring break, actually.
Is it spring break for everybody across the state?
Uh-huh.
Or, yeah. Like, is there a universal spring break?
Those who, I think, do more of the year-round type schedule, mm-hmm. they get 2 weeks of spring break.
Oh, wow.
But their first week always matches up with the rest of the world. Okay. So, yeah. So, there are still some people who will be on spring break next week.
Yeah. I've been getting the good parking spots here at the office.
Buddy, the commute
yeah.
is good. The parking is
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's you can definitely tell that it's spring break.
Yeah.
Been kind of quiet around here.
It has.
But anyway, yeah, it's been good. And good weather until today. It's gotten a little cloudy with some chance of rain.
It's been a little chilly this week, though.
Yeah. Yesterday was not.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday felt very nice out. Spent a little time outside when I got home yesterday evening. But anyway. What else you guys got going on?
Man, I don't know. Like you said, it's been a slow week.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot. We got March Madness coming up.
I was going to say, slow week. You probably, that sounds to me like you've had plenty of time to work on your bracket.
I think we were going to get into this, but I'm going to go ahead and start it.
Go ahead.
I don't think about my bracket. Like when I'm putting it together, once it's together, that's it. I'm not changing it. And
yeah.
when I'm picking the individual matchups, I look at it like, all right, that one, boom, that one,
yeah.
that one, that one.
Yeah.
And then I don't second guess anything now. That hadn't won me any brackets, but I'm not going to waste my time just picking and choosing and debating and
yeah.
stressing myself about it. So that's where I'm at on that. If you were wondering.
I am embarrassingly willy-nilly.
And I think I may have picked I'm the same team like I picked you. Last year. Now that you brought
I'm
that up.
Just like you. I pull that thing up, and I start tapping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, these. Oh, 8 versus 7. And maybe there's an 8 here.
Yeah.
Instead of the, you know, and I get to the end, and the first time I check up the whole time is when I get to the end picking the champion. I'm like, did I really believe that Bethune-Cookman can win the whole tournament? Like, how did I get here? You know? And then I'm like, well I must have because I made all the other decisions.
Yeah.
But I'm like you. I don't think about it again. Matter of fact, I had to go back for today and look who I picked to win because I didn't even remember.
Now, I know? Will – like, the seeds do matter to some extent to me, but I look at the odds. Like, more than likely over the years, the top four number one seeds make it to the Final Four with one exception here and there every few years.
I was going to say, that stat always rings out to me. I remember, I don't know what year it was. People listening will know.
Yeah.
But there was that one year, it was like the first time ever that all four number one seeds had made it to the Final mm-hmm. Four, ever. And that plays on repeat in my head when I'm filling that bracket out.
Yeah.
I'm like, do not advance all four of these. That's probably, if there is a thought, that's probably it. Don't advance all four of the number ones. How about you? What's your methodology?
Since he's not here, I'm going to talk about him. But
yeah,
I can feel Matthew rolling his eyes at all the comments I just made.
Drive him nuts.
Yeah. Yes, totally. Because I know he's got an opinion on it.
Sure.
But yeah, I filled one out.
Uh-huh.
And I'll let the, you can do the celebrity and let them.
Uh-huh.
I just went and picked somebody random and let them fill it out.
I did.
Just as good.
And then,
for sure.
And then I went behind.
And much less stress.
And changed about five of them just at random, just to mix it up a little bit.
Like your 12 and 11 seeds right there, they're going to upset somebody.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, there's going to be a 12 upset a four or
and
something.
And then I read
like
the other day that the eight and nines, you know, they're paired together. And usually the underdog in that matchup is the one that wins it.
Oh, really?
Now, this is all like statistical information over
here. Yeah, sure. But, well, you're an economist. That seems appropriate.
But it doesn't really matter either. So, well, I know it just who's got more dog in them, you know?
Yeah.
I tend to look at their winning record for the year, you know?
Yeah. That's a good indicator, too.
Even though they're in a smaller conference, you know?
Uh-huh.
A winning team is a winning team, and they've got the gumption.
So. James Madison, who my Red Wolves played in the Sun Belt Conference Championship, they only lost three games all year.
Yeah.
I don't care what league you're in. That's hard to do.
It is.
You know, so I had to get them making it past the first round kind of situation, you know. But I do an AI bracket or whatever they call it. Each service has a different name for it, but where they use – you know, stats and computer generated, you know, sort of technology to pick one.
Yeah.
But I do that as kind of a really for fun. It's not submitted in any of my, I don't even look at it. I just hit it and generate it and I sort of store it. Right. Yeah. And then I'll go through and I'll pick mine because I want to see every year how I do against against the machine, basically.
Yeah.
In addition to, you know, against
the company. Favorite part of March Madness, there's two ends. It's kind of like NASCAR, right? You like to see it start and you like to see it end, but all the stuff in the middle is just kind of take a nap then.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
How many people have gotten their selections right in the first round? Like, what is that percentage of people? And what's that percentage of people that their winner's already been knocked out?
Right.
You know, and then how many people got that final four?
The final four, correct.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty interesting to me.
Yeah. My first year here, I had to have been my second year here because I didn't start working here until May of that year. But we printed ours off. I mean, we didn't have like an actual challenge, but if you wanted to, you printed off and stuck it on the door. And we kind of tried to keep up with it. That was fun. I've never worked at a place where we did that. But you have changed that because you have initiated an actual bracket challenge for the AdCast.
Yes. I took that upon myself and showed my assertion and dominance here in this room. So. Because nobody else is more about teamwork and team building than John McMahon.
Yeah, I know. You love a good broke scores.
I very much
you
welcome
love a good
that,
trust fall.
Trust fall. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Now, well, I made our department do it too. So.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So. Last
but
time
we're
I,
separate.
Correct.
We're just the AdCast, the four of us.
That's right.
Okay.
I only remember participating in a office bracket thing like when I was at CGRW. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's 27, 28 years ago. But I won.
Were you born
that year?
Congratulations.
Were you alive then?
Thank you.
What?
Were you born then?
27 years ago?
Yeah.
I'd have been 10.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, you were well on your way then.
So, I guess now it's actually like 30 years ago because it was 94.
I'd have been even closer. it's 94. It's a year Razorbacks
won. I won the
right?
year the Razorbacks
won. Really?
I was just thinking, that probably would have been around that time.
Yeah. I was the only one, and that was the game that did it for me because everybody else, like, there's no way the Hogs are going to win. And I picked them.
So, I'm not a Razorback fan. Please don't comment. but I was then. Can you name the final four?
Well,
I think I can.
Duke,
but
obviously.
But I might embarrass myself.
It was Duke.
Who were the other two?
No.
Oklahoma State.
Was UNLV in there?
I think it was UCLA and Oklahoma State.
Well.
But I could be wrong about that.
If only we had this.
I know UCLA was in 95 because UCLA was the one that beat us in the
Final Four. Yeah, that was when the brothers,
they kept us from getting the repeat. So,
so Arkansas won. Let me see if I can see this without taking up too much time here.
So, are you one of those Arkansas State fans that like die hard roots against the Razorbacks? Because I'm a Razorback fan that is not like that towards Arkansas State. I actually watched that conference championship game.
Yeah.
And I was not rooting for James Madison by any means.
Number one, we were very off, according to what I'm seeing here, which is Arizona and Arkansas. Arkansas beat Arizona in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Florida and Duke.
Okay.
And Duke beat Florida.
Okay.
So we were way off. The score of that game, Arkansas wins on April the 4th, 76-72.
Yep.
And we all know how.
Right.
My dad still has that framed Sports Illustrated.
Grant Hill was on that Duke team, wasn't he?
He was.
Yes, he was.
He was indeed.
Christian Laettner.
Ooh, yeah.
Christian Laettner had moved on.
He had already moved on. He wasn't in that game.
He wasn't in
that
game.
Okay, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, he was not in that game.
Yeah.
Christian Laettner was in the game where they won.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. He made the shot that year.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Let me answer your question.
Please.
No, I don't.
No, you don't what?
I don't actively root against the Razorbacks. Okay. I have been known to do that.
Because I know a lot of people that do that.
In my younger and dumber days, I have been known to do that. Mm-hmm. But anymore, no, I root for my team.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about what your team does.
I'm rooting for your team, too.
Well, I appreciate it.
It's an Arkansas team.
Like, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of Razorbacks fans say, hey, why can't we root for – I root for the Red Wolves. Why can't you – I think it's okay to have in-state rivalries.
Yeah.
You think there's any Iowa State fans walking around rooting for the Hawkeyes? No way.
They've been playing each other for a long time.
A&M, Texas. Yeah. You know, I mean, I realize that a lot of those other rivalries play each other.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's okay to.
Hey, you'll have your wish in what, next?
Next
not
year
the,
or
not
year
next
after.
Football season, but the next 25,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. So, anyway. Well, that's cool. I'm excited. It gives a reason to watch, you know, when you have a bracket in the mix.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, you kind of got a reason to keep up with it.
Yeah.
No, I think that's fun.
We don't have anything on the line, I don't think.
No.
Not here or in our department. We just, it gives us something fun to talk about.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do what I always do. I root for the underdogs.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the Cinderella teams.
I'm kind of, now that we can probably all see all of our picks, I didn't pick this team, but I kind of think Houston, that's my
yeah,
that's who underdog. I have.
There's a lot of people
year.
That's picked them.
I didn't pick Houston, year. But they're my underdog kind of hope.
Yeah. I heard another long shot, and that was that Texas Tech.
Interesting. Yeah.
Which I didn't believe, but I mean, they are playing in Texas.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, that will make a difference. I chose Purdue, I believe.
Yeah, I chose Purdue too.
And again, I didn't set out to choose Purdue.
Was it Purdue that lost in the first round last year?
Started making those. Maybe
that,
so.
I had Purdue. Maybe your dad had Purdue picked, and we were talking
about
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I had Purdue picked to go a long ways last year, and they didn't.
Year.
So
yeah,
that scares me.
Well,
I can't change it now.
Yeah, no, it's there. Another fun thing. If you, we had the pleasure, we were invited, asked to take part in a pretty fun project recently.
Yep.
And in the next few weeks, if you happen to call one of your county Farm Bureau offices, you might hear some familiar voices.
Yes.
If you're put on hold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you won't be put on hold.
But if you do, be... you don't want to have to worry about any
being
awkward
bored.
Lobby music and being bored, because me and this gentleman will be there to entertain you and keep you occupied.
Yeah, we recorded a bunch of on hold messages, we'll call them, for the county offices. So if you're a fan of this show, if you're a fan of the AgCast, and you say, I just didn't get enough of John and Jason this week.
Call up there and ask to be put on hold.
Call up to your local office.
So,
and ask to be put on hold.
I can now see somebody calling up and they're, oh, hey, how are you? And I'm like, dang it. Would you put me on hold, please? Just for a minute.
Here's what I'm waiting on.
I heard I needed to hear this.
The
on
first
hold
cancellation.
Yeah.
Somebody's calling to add their new car. Mm-hmm. And by the time the agent picks up, they're like, by the way, if you don't take these clowns off this on hold.
I've changed
message.
My mind.
I'm gonna, yeah, and then we're
okay.
Toast
I'm
then.
Gonna call back again. Do not answer, please.
Yeah,
just for a minute.
Just for a minute. I want to hear what they have to say. We had some fun with it, but we also were able to tell you about some of the member benefits.
Yeah.
If you are an Arkansas Farm Bureau member, which hopefully you are, $40 a year, easy to do, right on ARFB.com. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. And then also exciting, next week we are going to record an episode with Senator John Bozeman.
We are.
Who is coming back
second time
to the show. Yep. I had to go back and look this up. He was here in February of 2023.
I knew it was around the same time.
Yeah, you were like a month into this thing. Ooh, interviewing boy, a sitting U.S. senator.
Yeah, I was super nervous. On top of that, there was like, 10 people in here almost. There's usually only the
I told Brian, I said, we're going to have to pick up before next week. You know, there's going to be an audience in here.
You're going to need a snack table, some
waters. People, I appreciate it. You know, they just want to make sure we get it right, I guess.
Yeah.
So you'll be interviewing Senator Bozeman next week, and we'll have that
that's
out.
That's what I'm told, so.
Careful now, if there's the snack table, people will be eating while you're recording.
Oh, so. Yeah, that'd be tough to hear in these microphones or in these headsets.
Matter of fact, I think we should make it known that there's not a snack table in here because the host of this show is really not a fan of people eating while he records.
Yes, that is correct. Now everybody knows.
Otherwise, he'd be really well fed while you watch this go down.
Man, just listening to the radio sometimes and you hear people just...
So,
hence, I direct everyone to watch the Pop-Tart episode.
Yeah, buddy. Or if you call somebody and they're eating, or if they call you while they're eating, it's like, I don't want to listen to you.
No, it's okay. We can talk later.
The microphone's literally in your mouth.
Not a problem. We can talk at a different time.
There's my rant for the day.
All right. What? And I think you got something before we get to the news.
Yeah, so the Arkansas Department of Ag is hosting Free Tree Fridays. In recognition of Arbor Day, which was, I think, this past week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Forestry Division of the Ag Department will be giving away bare root seedlings at various locations around the state starting March 22nd, which is tomorrow or the next day?
Tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. Today is 21st. All the way through April 26th. Species will vary by location and are limited to 5 per person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's first come, first serve. So if they run out, tough luck.
Tough luck.
You know,
you're out of here.
If you want to, there's a long list of locations that they're going to be at or offering these at across the state. So if you want a list of those locations and the dates and times that they'll be giving these seedlings out, you can go to agriculture.arkansas.gov and then look under their forestry tab.
Tab there.
Yep.
Yep. This is cool.
So if you're looking for some trees for your yard,
knock it out.
Man. Yeah.
Up to 5. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I've been thinking about planting a magnolia tree in my yard.
Magnolia tree.
I wonder if they got any of those.
Somebody cut a magnolia tree down in our neighborhood the other day, and I was just sad. Why?
Yeah.
You know?
Huh. I like magnolia. I love when we added these magnolias out front.
I wonder if they're giving out any Japanese maples. I'm kind of partial to them.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into the news.
All right. You want me to kick it off?
Yes, please.
Okay. In international news, more tariffs on Russian and Belarusian, Belarusian?
I think so.
Grain imports are coming. In the coming days, the European Union is expected to impose a duty of 95 euros or $103.26 per ton on cereals from Russia and Belarus.
Mm.
The EU also plans to add tariffs of 50% on oil seeds and derived products from those countries. These tariffs would apply to products destined for the 27 member EU countries, but would not apply to the transit of products through the bloc through those countries.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Going to other countries, destined for other countries. The move comes as farmers across the EU protest restrictions placed on them by its Green Deal plan to fight climate change and for the reimposition of customs duties on imports of agricultural products from Ukraine that were waived preceding Russia's invasion in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Farmers from neighboring countries such as Poland, Hungary, and Slovakia, who are all members of the EU, say the move undercut their prices. As Poland deals with similar farmer protests, the Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk has called for an EU ban on imports of Russian and Belarusian agricultural products, as did several EU lawmakers in a European Parliament debate just last week.
Okay.
Although this may hurt Russia, it is important to note that EU imports of grain and oilseed in 2023 and 2024 from Russia stood at 1.8 million tons by the end of February. Now, if you compare that to the 19.1 million tons imported from Ukraine, it doesn't seem like that large of a hit. I think the article kind of went into that I sourced this from, went into more, this is more of a symbolic deal than it is like an economic impact that it will be on Russia. It's not good by any means for their export markets, but the EU is clearly importing more of these products from Ukraine than they are EU.
Right. Tenfold. Well, but $100 a ton,
yeah.
I mean, it's still, you know, I mean, I can't do that math in my head. But,
I'm not
going
to try either.
You know, that's it will be a significant financial hit, it seems. So.
Well, we'll continue to, okay. Or I'll continue to monitor that.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since we talked about broadband development access in the state. But it wasn't that long ago that we asked you guys to provide input to the Arkansas State Broadband Office's mapping process.
Yep.
We had Glenn Howie, the state broadband director, on this show to talk about that. We've got an update on those maps today. The state's broadband office has released its maps showing the levels of broadband access across the state, and now those maps are open for input and challenges. According to Glenn Howie, like I said, he's been on the show before. He's the state broadband director. This is the first time in the state's history that maps of this kind have been created. He's asking for input from you, citizens of the state, to challenge any inaccuracies in advance of the state awarding additional broadband infrastructure grants. Excuse me, those grants, part of the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program, often referred to as BEAD, will be issued this year and will come in at around $1 billion. The office has issued a tentative timeline for the challenge period, which opened yesterday and remains open for 30 days. This will be followed by a period of rebuttals and adjudication before wrapping up mid-June. So this thing's on a really quick timeline. The challenge process is open for providers, nonprofits, local governments, and private citizens alike. As we've mentioned before, it's important to go online, look at your location or locations, and make sure the data listed there is accurate. If these maps show that you have internet service at your farm shop, but you don't, file a challenge. This is what that's what this process is for. Josh Snyder with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, reporting on this topic this week, said that around 115,000 locations in Arkansas, ranging from homes to hospitals to fire departments and beyond, do not have any access, or they have substandard access. Funding decisions, and I want to say this very clearly, funding decisions for that those $1 billion in grants will likely be made based, at least in part, on these maps, so it's important that your data is represented accurately. To see these maps and learn more about the challenge process, visit broadband.arkansas.gov.
Yeah, I think this is kind of... pairs with the fact that we always state any surveys or anything like that that are submitted or out there for public comment, please do, because there are decisions that are being made off those results that are going to impact you in your area. So this is just placed right into that. If you don't have internet access or the map shows that you do and you don't, then make that known.
Yeah. And that, I mean, look, it seems like they're doing this the right way. And I just want to say that to say, like, they're not allocating these funds until they understand where the greatest needs of service are. So this truly is, if there's ever been an example, seemingly, where your input will drive the investment, I mean, this is it. So,
absolutely.
And it's not just about, does the map say I have service, but I don't? If the map says you get 20 megabyte per second download, and the best you've gotten in the past 6 months is 3.
-2.
Yeah, that needs to be on there, you know, so that they understand that as well. So the only person, much like we often say, great point, I love that you brought that up, the only person that knows your situation, whether it's at your farm shop, your house, your printing shop, whatever it may be, your in-laws, is you. So... go and look at these maps, issue a challenge if you feel like that's necessary, and make your voice heard. And then we'll continue to watch this and report. We'll probably give a couple of reminders as we get closer to the process closing out. And then hopefully, you know, by summer, end of the summer, we've got some funding decisions made that we can come back and report on.
True progress.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's take a short break and hear a bit about what a Farm Bureau membership can do in your community.
Your Arkansas Farm Bureau membership supports the work we do on behalf of Arkansas farmers, ranchers, and communities around the state. A $40 annual Farm Bureau membership makes a difference in your neighborhood. From youth leadership programs and academic scholarships to hunger relief and disaster support, you can make a difference and be a champion for your community. Join at arfb.com.
All right. So we got one more story.
Okay. Yeah.
It's quite a bit longer than my last one.
I see that.
And it might be a little methodical.
Oh.
Or repetitive or boring. Like, just, I don't want to lose you or our audience.
Well,
so
it is me.
And I say that because it was yesterday was a U.S. congressional hearing. There was a U.S. congressional hearing on foreign ownership of agricultural land. And Jason, I bet you can guess what country it was talked about specifically.
I bet you're going to tell me.
China.
Oh, yeah.
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 So, and, you know, in this hearing, there was a lot of people that gave a lot of responses, and there's witnesses that gave a lot of testimonies. And mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of state what they said. And
oh, nice.
That's okay. What I mean by, like, this may be just a little tough. So, like I said, the House Agriculture Committee heard from several different witnesses regarding issues such as China trying to expand its footprint in the U.S., China looking to steal intellectual property, and the need for restricting their agricultural land purchases and agribusinesses in the U.S.
Mm.
The overarching concern in the hearing was clearly food security as a whole, you know.
Uh-huh.
Representative Glenn G.T. Thompson, Republican, Pennsylvania, was quoted saying, China imports as much food globally as the U.S. exports. The high volume of imports, including from the U.S., makes this conversation more difficult. He also added, so how do we strike the balance of protecting our producers and consumers in every piece of the agricultural value chain while keeping pace with China's needs?
Mm.
How do we reduce our reliance on one country without undermining the necessity of a strong export market? How do we think smartly about policies that mitigate threats while protecting our best interests? I thought he summed that up really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have an issue here at home, but also I'll go into this a little bit more in depth. Let's take soybeans, for example. Mm-hmm. We are highly dependent on China for mm-hmm. that export market of soybeans. And I don't really say it here, but China has started to pull back from U.S. markets, at least in soybeans,
mm-hmm.
and starting to buy from a lot of our competitors like Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all kind of everything on the table here in this hearing yesterday.
As the old saying goes, it's a sticky wicket.
Yeah, there you go. So Representative David Scott, who's a Democrat from Georgia, also acknowledged the importance of China being an important trade partner, but it was also concerned the issue has caused discrimination toward Asian Americans.
Hmm.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, N-O-E-M, called for increased efforts to restrict China's ability and other foreign adversaries to purchase U.S. agricultural land while giving the example of the country's ownership of Smithfield Foods, a large pork processing company in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Mike Gallagher, Republican, Wisconsin, and Representative, I'm going to butcher this, Raja Krishnamoorthy,
mm-hmm.
Democrat from Illinois, each commented on Chinese intellectual theft of Iowa corn seed, and such intellectual theft amounts to tens of millions of lost dollars for U.S. companies. I think mm-hmm. there's also been situations with rice as well. American Soybean Association President Josh
Gackle. Looks
Josh, like. Yeah, sorry, Mom.
No, I see you.
Yeah. Josh Gackle also stated the importance of the Chinese market and called on lawmakers to reject attempts to revoke Chinese trade status.
Mm.
As far as sales to China, like our exports, they bought $29 billion in U.S. agricultural goods in 2023. After buying a record of $38.1 billion in 2022.
Mm.
Sales to China continue to fall. In January, sales to China were $3.1 billion, down 31% from a year earlier. Corn exports specifically to China are also down 57% compared to the same point last year. Soybean, which I brought up earlier, sales are down 25% a year ago. Pork and beef shipments are down slightly since the start of the year as well. I think I saw wheat. Their sales to China were up, but there have been some cancellations from China on the what they were going to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, it was also mentioned that the U.S. reliance on China for crop protection products is a national security threat to the U.S. Kip Tom, an Indiana farmer who served as the ambassador to the United Nations agencies for food and agriculture under the Trump administration,
mm-hmm.
was asked why crop protection products are being made in China.
Mm.
His comment was, I would say, because of the extensive regulatory burden we have here in the United States. You know, that's kind of the end of my article here, but I'll add that it's a weird spot we're stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this issue at home, but also our agricultural markets are heavily dependent on international markets,
mm-hmm.
and China is a big portion of that.
Yeah.
But we also have security issues or concerns with China or other adversarial countries owning our land.
Mm-hmm.
There's examples of Chinese ownership of land near military bases in the
mm-hmm.
U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And a concern that, say, take Smithfield Food Company, the pork processing plant. So they own the processing now, and mm-hmm. are they going to start buying up land so they control the farming of that product
mm-hmm.
too?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a food security situation. You've got security in general issue, mm-hmm. but also we're dependent on them for products that we buy, but not only sell to them.
I believe it was last year that the U.S. gave up its crown as the number one corn exporter to Brazil.
Yep.
For the first time.
Soybeans are going that way.
Yeah, so that sort of brings home that change in the export market that you mentioned.
And also, I've read that China is making efforts to be less reliant on other countries.
And to build out their own production systems.
And I've also seen where their research and crop production has just skyrocketed.
Mm.
Now, I've had conversations with people about this. I think them in Brazil, if you compare us, Brazil and the U.S., let's just say soybeans, mm-hmm. their research, investment research has skyrocketed compared to ours.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think a lot of that is because we're just so far ahead of them in that regard.
Right.
Ours has seemed to have plateaued a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I think we've made... That's how technology kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
You make this big boom, you plateau until something else comes along, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are just in their boom,
mm-hmm.
where we've been on that uptrend for a long time now.
Yeah.
But it is something to be concerned about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, certainly a topic that's been a big one here in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. We've seen the direct impacts of decisions to stop China from owning or purchasing ag land specifically here in Arkansas. So that rings. I'm sure this is not the end of the conversation either.
No. And I think the other stat that I saw, and I should also point out that Tyler Ochsner and Jake Cartwright did a Ag Insider on this very topic. And I think only about... It's either 1 or 3%, which could end up being a big number.
Don't
get me wrong. Of agricultural land is owned by foreign entities
in Arkansas.
No, in the country.
Oh, in the country. Okay.
Yeah. So,
thanks for that.
In the grand scheme of all of ag land, it's not that big.
Sure.
But the difference between 1 and 3% is.
It can be. Yeah. Exactly. All right, we've got a follow-up on that Smokehouse Creek fire in Texas that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
And this one has an Arkansas connection. We'll end the show this week with some feel-good news.
Okay.
As we mentioned, the Smokehouse Creek fire in Texas was the largest in the state's history. It burned an astonishing 1 million-plus acres, according to Texas A&M's Forest Service. The fire is now 100% contained, but there's a long road of recovery ahead for the mm-hmm. farmers who have surviving livestock. You might imagine those farmers are now faced with a new challenge, food shortages. Help is on the way, all the way from Alma, Arkansas, where James Marion, a Crawford County farmer, has partnered with Denali, a Russellville company who calls itself an organic recycling company. The first load, 34 hay bales, were loaded up and shipped out to Texas A&M's livestock supply point on Tuesday, where it will be distributed to cattle producers in need. According to the story from Five News in Fort Smith, The donations were made possible by Missouri and Arkansas farmers who were Denali customers. The story says the company also purchased additional hay to send to Texas and plans to give a total of 700 bales of hay to the impacted farmers down there in Texas.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So much needed help for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have a million plus acres burned, that's going to impact the food supply.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's good to see those farmers in need get some help here.
Yeah, yeah. That's a tough deal, man.
It's been really, really bad. So anyway, all right. Well, I think that's does it for our portion of the day, of the fun.
Excellent. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. So yeah. I know what you're ready for.
I am. Uh-huh. I'm really hoping they're like college basketball related questions. Like
I bet there's sport not.
Stats. I can wish in one hand, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's just surprise you then.
Or dad jokes. I like
that. It's time for
Stump the Host.
There we go. There we go.
Remotely. The March Madness edition.
Oh, how about it?
Yeah, the Hogs won in 94. Was that one of your questions?
Not exactly.
We might have inadvertently gotten into it.
We've already kind of talked about that one. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that bullhorn. Yeah. Is that what that is?
That's a megaphone.
Megaphone. All right.
Yeah. Megaphone. Kind of ruined the moment there at the end, didn't I?
No, it's quite all right.
I'm sorry.
It's good.
What happened? I got excited.
It's all good.
you tend to do that.
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's okay. So what I've got is 25 questions.
Ooh.
We obviously don't want to go into all 25, so I'll save some of them. But what I thought I would offer as an olive branch,
mm-hmm.
I will let you choose which question that I'm going to ask you.
So we pick 1 through 25?
You are correct.
I don't know the
question. So you're one for one now. You're following me.
You've already got it. You are correct. Look at you. See, right off the bat.
1-0.
Yeah.
1-0.
I say lucky 13. Look at me just jumping out there grabbing a
He's going to jump right into 13. That's good. 13 was always, that was my number.
Yeah.
In basketball. Yeah.
Oh, nice. How about that? Speaking of.
Okay. So, question number 13.
Here we go.
How many UCLA teams had unbeaten seasons under John Wooden, culminating in the national championship?
Is this multiple choice? I guess not.
It is not.
Mm-hmm. Man, it was a lot. They hold the record, don't they?
They do.
I think there were 5.
I was going to say 6.
4.
That's $1.
$1. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
It's 1-1.
Your pick now.
I'm going to go with, I can't go with my basketball number because I only played 1 year of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I was too young to remember what my number was. So I'm going to go with 7.
7.
Number 7.
I like
number 7.
7 is a strong number.
I like 7 is a good number.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. What was the first number 16 seed to win in the NCAA tournament?
Number what seed?
16.
Gonzaga.
They knocked off a number 1.
Georgetown.
No.
George Washington.
No.
Butler.
I'm not guessing anymore. I've made my guess because I play by the rules. I just like to have that note.
I was UMBC, and they beat Virginia. And that was in 2018.
I'm
gonna have to
UMBC.
University of Massachusetts, Boston College.
UMBC Retrievers. Yep. Maryland, Baltimore County.
Huh.
Yep.
So close.
Yep. I remember watching the game.
Who did they beat? Sorry?
Virginia.
Virginia, wow.
They were expected to go all the way.
What year was it?
2018,
so fairly recently.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's keep it going.
You want to go 0 for 3?
Why not?
Yeah.
Pick another.
3.
What team emerged from the first ever first four to reach the final four?
So I would assume it's the champion in the first year that we had the
so
final
you know
four.
They have the 64 teams that play.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started the first four that would play. There were 4 teams which...
Oh, like the play-in games.
Like the ones that... Yeah, the play-in games, uh-huh. Like happened last night.
Uh-huh.
Well, they did it the first time ever in this year, And the team that advanced from that actually went to the Final Four that year.
Holy cow.
Did they make a movie about this? About this team?
I don't know.
Indiana.
No.
I had zero confidence in that answer.
UNLV.
No.
He had enough pause.
How many times are you going to bring that up?
They used to be really good.
Yeah. It was VCU, Virginia Commonwealth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Virginia.
All 2011.
That's crazy. I don't remember that, but I'm making it all the way to the Final Four.
Yep.
Do we have time for one more?
We do. They actually played a really good game last night in the NIT. They knocked off Villanova.
There is a
at home.
Wow.
It was it was crazy. They played a really good game.
There's a NIT. I don't know if they're a challenger, but alternative called CBI, happening down in Miami, and A-State, Euler, and several other folks have gone down there anyway, or were invited down there. I haven't kept up with it much.
You gonna pick another one?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with 23.
23, the Jordan.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Okay. What team owns the largest comeback in an NCAA tournament game?
Period. That's it. That's the question. So, you know, whatever you want to do there with that.
You have to be a aficionado to know all these answers, you know.
ESPN had a guy named Stat. Was his name Stats? Yeah. I'm just going to guess Wake Forest. Just to get the ball rolling.
Let's go with Kansas, Wichita, Wichita State. That's there. Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, yeah, Wichita State.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No, not them.
Yeah. BYU. It was in that.
Man, that was my not my second guess.
There's this whole class of basketball teams,
schools
that have been like great. Like you would have never heard Gonzaga. I put in that category. Wake Forest to an extent. I'm trying to Akron. Like you know, that have just always been. They've shown up there.
You always got to bet on the Zags.
Yeah,
they're always going to be there.
Certain schools don't have like enough money to have a lot of athletic programs.
Right.
So they invest all their money, say, in basketball or whatever it may be.
Yeah. So that's pretty fun. All right. Well, that's now I'm in the mood today, right now.
Yeah.
As it's 11:50.
Yeah.
I think games already started, isn't it? So that's what I was kind of asking. Yeah.
I think so.
All right.
All right. So I'll bring some of these back later. Yeah. Because tournament will be going on for a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
But I got to give you one. Hopefully you'll get because you're 0-4 now.
Okay.
So I'll pick it.
Let's hope.
Number one.
Okay.
Number one. What is the name of the video highlight recap of each year's NCAA tournament?
Oh, my gosh.
The March Madness recap? That seems too easy.
Yeah.
You guys have got to get this one.
CBS.
Oh, man.
The tournament recap.
One shining moment.
One shining moment.
I see why you would think.
And you guys scored a big old goose egg this year, this time. So
this may be the first show we've ever gotten zero.
I don't think so. I bet there's one out there. I bet there's a few
examples of that. Well, we have not had one shining moment.
He successfully stumped the hose.
Yeah, he did. He did. All right, well. That wraps up the news for this week. Thanks for following along with the Arkansas AgCast. We're grateful for you taking the time to watch and listen.
Remember, you can catch new episodes of the show every Thursday afternoon. Find video episodes on Facebook and YouTube. Listen to the audio versions wherever you listen to podcasts.
And make sure to subscribe and leave us a review when you have a few extra minutes. The Arkansas AgCast is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau. I'm Jason Brown.
And I'm John McMinn.
And we'll see you next week.